Thanks for listening to the Adam Carolla Show on Podcast One.
Rocket Mortgage. Confidence. Support for the Adam Carolla Show comes from our friends at Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Why can't clients get approved in minutes, not weeks? Or make adjustments to their rate and term in real time? Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans answered those questions and more. It gives you the confidence to buy a home or refinance your existing loan. Fully understand all the details and be confident you're getting the right mortgage for you. That's right. That's what Rocket Mortgage does. Whether you're looking to buy your first home or your 10th, with Rocket Mortgage, you get a transparent online process. Apply simply, understand fully, mortgage confidently. What else do you need to know? And again, these guys support the show and are great sponsors. So, Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. To get started, just go to rocketmortgage.com/Adam. That's rocketmortgage.com/Adam.
Equal housing lender, licensed in all 50 states, NMLS, consumeraccess.org, number 3030. When Rush asked Amy Mann to sing on this one, I wonder if she said, "I'm available, but not till Tuesday." Good one, Ace Man. Here's Rush on the Toolbox.
Turn my back to the wind, catch my breath before I start off again. Living on without a moment to spend.
From Carolla One Studios in Glendale, California, this is the Adam Carolla Show. Adam's guest today, John Gotti Jr., with Gina Grant on news, and Bald Brian on sound effects, plus the lackeys trying to convince Adam that rap is good. And now, like John Gotti, he was also the favorite son of the head of a loyal and successful Italian family, Adam Carolla.
Yeah, get it on. Got to get it on. No choice but to get it on mandate. Get it on. Thanks for tuning in. Thanks for sharing. Thanks for folks like Dollar Shave Club. Go to dollarshaveclub.com/Adam. And Liquid IV. Go to liquid-iv.com. And I'll tell you about them in a minute. Bespoke Post. You know about them. I'll tell you about them in just a few. Good day, Gina Grant.
Good day to you.
Handball, Brian.
We the best. Coming up.
God, it's been a... Now, we're going to run down this music. We'll also talk to John Gotti Jr.
Get his thoughts on
that. In a couple thoughts. as I've mentioned before, it's not just music. I feel the same way about any form of art or actually any endeavor where I deem it either doable by my son or sort of a cop-out in lieu of being able to do a better version of it. There's a famous artist. His name is, I think it was Ed Moses, not the hurdler.
Undefeated for 10 years in the hurdles.
Well, let's do that. I'm glad you brought that up, Brian, by me bringing it up first. Because...
There is an artist, Ed Moses, yeah. Oh.
There is an artist named Ed Moses. There's also a hurdler named Ed Moses.
Edwin, yeah.
Moses. One of them was undefeated for 10 years in like the 440 hurdles or the 220 hurdles, something that none of us could ever come close to doing ever. The other one gets really high and draws huge orbs on 9-foot canvases.
It's a pound for pound, same thing.
As a citizen of this planet, look at what Edwin Moses does and goes, I could never do that. Never. He would smoke me. I could dedicate my life to it. And I might be able to be proficient at it, but not that.
No.
I mean, what he does is otherworldly. And then the artist, I think, if I took enough peyote and then tripped over a bucket of paint as I was staggering to the bathroom, I could probably do what he does.
Uh-huh.
Okay, I then take that and apply it to music, film, everything. Mm-hmm. I just apply it to everything. And I also realize the cop-out part, which is you can't do stand-up, so you do spoken word. You can't write good poetry, so you write stuff that doesn't rhyme, that's dripping with attitude. You're common.
Mm-hmm. So if nobody laughs,
you know what I mean? Like, yeah, you look at common and you just go, I think if I was trying to make fun of common, I could shit that out. Mm. If you gave me a steno pad. Listen, when you have David Alan Greer could make fun of common and freeform it, mm, and you couldn't tell the difference
in real time
between the two and their stupid poetry. All right, then I apply that to rap and the Beastie Boys, mm-hmm, and the rest of the people who wish they could make music, but they really can't. Now, some of it, I get, you can say it's a cultural thing. It's a thing where, hey, maybe you don't have access to piano teachers, like Dr. Drew's kids had access to. So, and you don't have sousaphones and trombones and stuff, so you have to do without.
Yeah, make with what you
got. It's essentially the guy playing the 5-gallon bucket as a drum because he didn't get a drum kit.
Right.
Well, it's like basketball is bigger in the inner city than like hockey. There's a lot less equipment. You know, a basket and a hoop and a few guys as opposed to mountains of equipment, ice and facilities, blah, blah, blah.
Right. The thing about basketball that's different than rap is Danielle Brignoli, little bring it out, cash me outside chick, 13-year-old.
Your name? Wow.
She can't go out onto the hardwood and back LeBron James
up.
She
can't post up LeBron James.
No, she can't post up LeBron James. It would be comical to see anybody who didn't dominate physically attempt to go out. And that's why no begrudging of basketball. Maybe a little begrudging of curling or some other sports that I find sort of doable.
Sure.
You know?
Sweeping, yeah.
Yes. But this is a sport where 13-year-olds from Poughkeepsie can actually do it, and it's semi-serviceable.
Sure.
Which now makes me wonder how good a sport it is. If I hear her rap, and I hear rap, now I get there's good rap, and I get that there's people that are better at it than others, but I don't know that there is a big chasm between 13-year-old Danielle, whoever, cash me outside chick.
Don't act like you don't know her name.
All of a sudden, you forgot her last name.
I think it's Brignoli, but there's also
I could be wrong.
Well, there's a gym called Brignoli's that when I worked for Bodies in Motion, we took over the old Brignoli's in Pasadena, so I may be grafting that on.
On the sign under the name says, catch me inside.
Catch me inside.
That's good.
Catch me on the elliptical. I don't know that there's a huge chasm between Cardi B and what she's doing to this untrained ear. Now, again, if she tried to back LeBron into the paint, we would notice the difference between the two. And so that's, to me, the difference between a sport where I watch the NBA championship or finals or whatever, and I just marvel. I just go, oh, my God. I could never. It would be, you would embarrass yourself if you attempted to just run out onto the court and participate for 10 seconds. It's also kind of a thing, too, which is, I could play right field in a Major League Baseball game and possibly not embarrass myself. I'm proficient enough to stand out in right field, catch a few fly balls.
Whip them back.
I might whiff, but I'd probably be okay. Mm. I could not do the same in an NBA and a game. And that's why, to me, whether it's a painting or music or sport, if you could immediately spot the person that was out there and go, no way, that's the person that's wrong. Like, if you played a Major League Baseball game and you had some experience and were proficient or athletic or whatever, you might be able to lose yourself in the crowd for a certain amount of time. You wouldn't go a season, you wouldn't go the game, but you could lose yourself. In the NBA and the NFL, I don't think you could lose yourself for 25 seconds.
It'd be pretty obvious pretty quick.
Pretty obvious pretty quick. And I feel that way, again, about painting, about music. When I hear John Popper do the harp and then start singing and then back to the harp again, I go, I would immediately be exposed if I was in there.
Are there points for rappers who rap fast, like Busta Rhymes, stuff that's just
like
kind of cool?
There's definitely a skill set there. I just don't think it's good music.
Gotcha.
I don't really even think it's music per se. I don't like all the sampling. That's ripping off someone else's art. If you did it, if people look at me all the time like, oh, well, come on. Okay, do it in comedy. Sample George Carlin. Do it in painting. Sample Picasso. Do it in any other form. It's a flat-out ripoff. You do it in music, and all of a sudden it's like, oh, okay, well, I like that song. I don't care. It's a ripoff. Your
there are
job,
five levels of drinking.
Your job as an artist is to create.
Yep.
Not associate.
Oh, well done.
Thank you.
Replicate.
And not replicate. This is not a debate. Okay.
We go on.
All right. So now we have guys that are young that are kind of coming here and defend it. So we'll hear what they have to say.
We have to keep an open mind. Let them make their point.
That's right.
They'll be
here. I'm not really like my feeling is not like there aren't good rap songs or it doesn't take skill. It's just in general, I don't really have it as music. Mm. That's all.
Are you guys ready to do it now or are you still updating your resumes?
I'm the only guy on the planet that thinks the Beastie Boys suck because I know who they are. I know exactly what they're doing. They're doing what we would do if we couldn't play in a band, but we wanted to be in a band. That's what it is. Now, eventually, they become something. But on the other hand, my feeling, okay, I don't know. Listen to the Beastie Boys and listen to old Prince and tell me how they sound. Prince is an example of tremendous talent who makes dated, horrible, shitty music, or whose music sounds like shit. Everyone gets super defensive about it until you start playing his songs, and then they have to kind of admit it sounds like dated shit.
Till you fire up Bat Dance.
But that's the, you can take the ones you like. Now, he wrote good songs for other people, and he has good, but the stuff he got in rotation on the radio in the mid-80s is bad. But anyway. All right, hold on. Let me tell you about UFC Fight Pass. Dana White's Tuesday Night Contender Series premiered last week with one hell of a jaw-dropping KO. Former NFL player Greg Hardy. Remember that dude? Oh, yeah. He's a bad, bad man. Anyway, he was... it's kind of nice to see these guys go from one sport to another. Anyway, he was awarded an immediate UFC contract from Dana White himself. I actually saw that, so I know of what I speak. It is unbelievable. Every Tuesday, exclusively and live on UFC Fight Pass. And right now, for Corolla fans, you can head to UFC.tv/Corolla, sign up, and watch the entire series for one very low price. So, UFC Fight Pass. Again, until August 7th, you'll be able to watch Dana White's Tuesday Night Contender Series live every week, and you'll get unlimited access to the largest on-demand fight library in the world. It is UFC Fight Pass. Dawson.
Don't wait. Go to UFC.tv/Corolla and lock in the special price to watch the entire season of Dana White's Tuesday Night Contender Series and gain access to the largest on-demand fight library in the world with original series and behind-the-scenes footage of UFC stars like Georges St. Pierre, Michael Bisping, Conor McGregor, Ronda Rousey, Anderson Silva, and Holly Holm exclusively on Fight Pass.
All right, fine. Well, they'll come in and they shall defend. I told them the rules are you got to sell me your good rap song, and I don't want to hear Kashmir in the background. I want you to sell me the song, someone else's song that I kind of like before this song, because that's utterly cheating.
That's fair.
Okay. All right. Let me tell you about the Dollar Shave Club, and then we'll talk to Gotti Jr., I think. Dollar Shave Club delivers everything you need to look and feel and smell your best. Shampoo, conditioner, body wash, toothpaste, hair gel, even the butt wipes. Here's a hot tip for you. I keep a couple of those bad boys in the console of my car.
Buddy, I got a few in there right now.
Smart.
Just in case.
We're also a big fan of Dr. Carver's Shave Butter. All products are made with top shelf ingredients that will not break your budget. Plus, shipping is included with your membership. Let's not wait in line at the supermarket. Out here, you got to go to like the CVS. The guy's got all the cartridges are in a cage. You got to find the guys with the keys to unlock it. No. Go with Dollar Shave Club. Dawson.
Here's a great way to try a bunch of Dollar Shave Club's products. For just $5, you can get their Daily Essentials Starter Set. It comes with Body Cleanser, One Wipe Charlies, their amazing butt wipes, their world-famous shave butter, and their best razor, the Six-Blade Executive. Keep the blades coming for a few more bucks a month, and add in shampoo, toothpaste, and anything else you need for the bathroom. Check it all out at DollarShaveClub.com/Adam. That's DollarShaveClub.com/Adam.
John Gotti Jr. is on the phone. John, good to speak to you.
Pleasure to speak to you.
The movie's Gotti. It's in theaters everywhere as we speak. Travolta's in this. His wife, Kelly Preston, is in this. Spencer LaFranco plays Junior. How did you find Spencer LaFranco?
Wonderful kid. A little taller than I am. I think better looking than I was. He did a nice job. He did a nice job. And he shines next to John. That's for sure.
Directed by Kevin Connolly, who we all know from... Entourage, yeah, one of my favorite series and a fun movie, too. John, where are you calling from?
I'm calling from my office in Oyster Bay Cove, Long Island.
Are, in no particular order, just ideas that pop into my head, are you glad to be a John Gotti Jr., or do you wish your first name was Stefan?
Well, first off, I'm not a junior. Actually, my father, my dad's the junior. My grandfather is John Gotti. John J. Gotti. My father is John J. Gotti, therefore his siblings refer to him as Junior. I'm John A. Gotti, so we can call me the third. My son is John Gotti, so he would be the fourth. However, and it gets more confusing, every time my son's a professional MMA fighter, every time he fights on the billings, they always put him as John Gotti the third, which he's actually the fourth.
How old is your son?
He's 25.
How do you feel about him stepping into the octagon as a dad?
You know what? I don't like it. It's not the preference. It's not the business that I would want my son to be in. However, that being said, he loves it. He's very passionate about it. He's the amateur champ out here. He's 2-0 now as a pro. And you know, when your son tells you, he steps to you and tells you this is what he wants to do, and you know, basically is that he asks you to support him. I tried my best to dissuade him. I tried every which way to dissuade him, but I wasn't successful.
It's got to be tough if you're you and you're trying to explain to your son, why don't you get out of that business and go straight? Something a little safer for a living.
We're looking at
Well, what father really wants to watch his son climb into a cage, okay, and you have, you know, 1,000 people, 2,000, 3,000 people in the audience, and many are cheering for your son, many are cheering against your son. What parent wants to see there, wants to witness that, and fully knowing that your son's climbing in there, and you know that he has to try to inflict pain on an opponent, and the opponent's going to try to attempt to inflict pain on your son. So it's difficult as a father, difficult as any parent, but, you know, my son tries to tell me, he says, Dad, look, you know, you got to toughen up. And I says, John, you know, I am tough, but however, when you're a father, you'll understand my position, that I cleaned your backside. I put Desitin on your backside, okay? You didn't put it on mine.
Desitin.
You're my baby. I don't care how big you are, I don't care how tough you are. You're my baby.
Yeah. Oh. And
well,
also...
that kid looks like he can defend himself pretty good.
He looks good.
My God.
He's a tough kid. And listen, he's really good, and we enable him. We enable him to be even better because of the fact is that this is his profession. He has sponsors. He has loyal family and friends around him that enables him to go to do two-a-days in the gym. Okay, he doesn't have to go break rock in the morning and then go squeeze time at night at the gym. This is his occupation. This is what he does all day.
I hope this day never comes, but if he ever gets submitted, if somebody gets him into a triangle or a rear naked choke or something, inevitably the announcer's going to say, not the Teflon Don.
That will come out
of the announcer's mouth if he's ever submitted. I don't think he ever will be.
You know what the situation is? And you know, if you've seen the last minutes of the A&E documentary, a journalist, an author, had given a statement which rings so true. Is that my son, my father's grandchildren, namesakes, they're still fighting the fights of the Gottis. And that being said, there is so much truth to that because my son, every time he does fight, it's that weight and pressure that he carries into the ring, into the octagon. He carries that pressure in, the fact that everybody knows who he is, okay? And everybody looks at that position and says, hey, you know, if he loses, it's a big deal. Every kid wants to come in and knock my son out. And he knows that, and he trains with that in mind, that he's basically a hunted one. He doesn't come in with the advantage. He comes with the disadvantage because the pressure all falls onto him. His shoulders have to carry that whole load.
How much, and you, did you, I'm guessing you felt that way growing up as well?
No, absolutely not. Maybe amongst the streets, and my peers in the streets, but you know what? There's far more pressure on my son. Far more pressure. I mean, you have any idea? I have a newfound respect for individuals in this game because, you know, I used to be one of those guys that would critique a guy. You know, he didn't give his heart. He didn't do this. He didn't do that. And sometimes I still do, but I'm more reserved in that opinion now being a father of an MMA fighter because the respect I have, it's so immense for the individuals that in front of all of those people, like Johnny's first fight was in the Twin River Casino in Lincoln, Rhode Island, and there were like 3,700 people in attendance. And you know what kind of pressure it is for you to climb into that octagon? Knowing you're carrying your name, everybody knows your name, and all those people are watching, and, you know, if you get hurt, if you hurt, whatever the situation may be, that, and he says he blocks it out. I don't know how you could, but he says he blocks it. I says, Dad, I only see what's in front of me, but I don't know how you could because I'd be aware of the crowd because I'm very aware every room I step into, I'm aware of the room and everything that's in that room. So I don't know how. I mean, he has to possess a tremendous amount of focus just to zero into his opponent and block that out.
Well,
but the pressure's got to be great on the kid.
You say you notice everything that's in a room that's hypervigilance. Well, you think that was brought on by feeling like somebody might try to harm you for a fair bit of your life?
Or watch you.
Or watch you. Oh,
right.
Yeah, I forgot.
Well, your peripheral vision. Your peripheral vision becomes a lot broader.
Right. So you went to a military academy, right?
I did.
Which was, and you didn't. You didn't find out.
New York Military Academy, Cornwall and Hudson, New York. I graduated a class of 82. Donald Trump as well, he graduated class of 64.
Oh, he went to the same academy.
Same school, as did Francis Ford Coppola.
All the greats.
A lot of range. A lot of range.
Yeah.
Do they have a Hall of Fame over there?
What we do have is the school sadly closed down several years ago. I don't know why. It was an institution. It was opened in 1889, and how it was allowed to close down, I'm still confused. You know, I gave every chance I could to the school, and with alumnus like Donald Trump, who's worth billions, I don't know. I'm just confused how that was permitted to close down. That being said, I mean, the school, like I said, was opened in 1889. We had almost like a museum in the main building. We had downstairs like almost like a museum where all the awards would be hanging, the highest-ranking officers, the staff captains, and so on throughout the history of the school, and those that went on, those that perished in World War I, World War II, Korean War, Vietnam War, and so on. So they were all the heroes of our country that came out of that school, fellow alumnus, were all into that museum, like that hall of honor.
Did you, I'm guessing that was a little Trump dig there, which is why didn't the guy with the billions of dollars bail out the academy that he's alumni from?
It is a little bit of a dig.
It's
not a bad dig. It's a confusing one because, you know, I have fond memories of the school. And, you know, from what I understood, Donald was a good student. President Trump was a good student and excelled there as well. So I'm sure it laid the foundation down for him to move forward to do great things in his life, like go on to the Wharton School of Business, okay? So that being said, with the fond memories I've had of the school, that any time they've ever asked and did any type of fundraising drives, you know, I would do the best I could. I mean, I was fresh from prison. I just rolled out of prison in December of 2009, and in January they were doing something, and I sent a donation into the school. And I was near broke at that point.
You sent him like three cartons of cigarettes?
Yeah.
Well, I sent them books of stamps.
Did you feel, I just walked to whatever the closest free school was, but I always hear, when I talk to people that went to academies or boarding schools or something, like, did you feel like you're being dumped off by your family?
No, listen to me. If ever a kid deserved to be sent away to school, it was this kid right here. I was a constant truant. I was at Beach Channel High School, and I never went to school. Never went. So at that point, my father gave me an ultimatum. He said basically this: look, kid, I'll let you pick where you want to go, but you're going someplace. And I started, you know, throwing out these, like, these, you know, schools where they were way at that time way beneath me. And my father said, I have another idea.
Why not a military
school? Yeah, and I called him on it. When he said military school, I called him on it because I wanted to show, here's a guy that was in and out of prison, you know, for a good portion of my life at that point of time. And I'm, you know, always as a young guy trying to measure up. So I would say, military school, yeah, yeah, I'll do it. You will. And you know what? Without even missing a beat, he enrolled me. And I didn't think he'd call my bluff. He did. I went, and you know what? I've got fond memories.
Well, I believe that young men crave discipline, mm-hmm. even if they don't know it. Like, even if they...
Especially if they don't know it.
Even
like
if they're, if they fight against it, they push so hard, they push right. back so hard, but they need it, like, badly.
Structure.
And when they don't mm-hmm. get the structure and the discipline, it just ruins the rest of their life. And if you would have just kept going, you probably, I'm sure there are neighborhood guys that didn't go to the academy, and you could tell us a bunch of horror stories about what happened to them. On the other hand, you did end up going to jail.
Absolutely. And I don't so much think that, you know, individuals, guys, kids my age, men, 14, 15, 16, crave discipline. I don't think that. I think they crave more leadership. They crave to be accepted and led, okay? And, you know, I wanted a career in the military. I went to military school. I graduated. I've done all the programming I was supposed to do. My idea was to now find a college with an ROTC-compatible program to further enhance, you know, and further myself in the military. That being said, you know, being around my father, this was a larger-than-life personality. You've seen the individuals around my father, and you've seen that military-like structure because there were people that there was a pecking order, okay? And you saw the deference that was you know given to my father. That attraction was far too great, and that's where I ended up. I never left. That small break from high school to what should have been a transition into college, it never happened.
What is the state of the Italian syndicate, mafia, whatever we're calling it?
I couldn't tell you.
Today.
I'm a civilian 21 years. I couldn't tell you what goes on the street.
Because for me, it's all MS-13 and Mexican drug lords and all that stuff. I don't hear any paisans.
Not to interrupt, I could probably sum up the best way. I don't know if you've seen the Gotti movie. I believe it was HBO 1996.
Yes.
And Armin Assante.
Yes.
You see it?
Yes.
Okay. The character of John Gotti, Armin Assante, is in the mirror at the end. He's in Marion, Illinois, and he's just sentenced to 5 consecutive life sentences, and he's a direct court committal to the most secure prison in the country, if not the world. It's Marion, Illinois. It's only level 6, okay, mind you, in the country at that time. And he looks in the mirror, and he pulls out this prison-issue brush, and he begins to comb his hair back, and he says, 5 or 10 years from now, they're going to wish they had a John Gotti. And he begins to name, you know, the Jamaicans and the Russians and so on and so forth. He says it in the movie. And you know what? That movie is almost prophetic. Because if you look at it, 1996, now here we are some 22 years later. Listen, you're hearing about these, you know, MS-13s with machetes hacking up young kids and things of that nature. It's horrible. It's horrible. It just makes you sick. And I live here out on the island. And this is all too often now. I mean, it just seems like every couple of weeks they're digging up a body of a young kid, a 15 or 16 or 17-year-old kid, a child. And you're saying to yourself, how sick is this? Okay? So to answer your question, if the question that you've directed at me is, and I wouldn't even put them in the same relate. I wouldn't even relate them. You know, what my father was and what he stood for and the individuals that I was raised around stood for, these guys comported themselves in a completely different manner. They took care of the neighborhood. We cleaned our neighborhood up. You see, when my father died, thousands and thousands of people didn't go to work. They stood home, lined the streets to press their faces against the hearse that was driving by to pay homage to my father. You see, when my father was convicted years earlier, okay, he was sentenced in 1992. That was a Monday afternoon. 10,000 people parked themselves on the courthouse doorstep, and pretty much they went wild. They went wild for John Gotti. They went wild for their guy, okay? Now, flip back to what we just now said. We're talking about this MS-13. You're not going to see any of that type of a turnout for any of these individuals, okay, because you see the community stepping up and basically saying that, look, you know, our children are being killed. This is a scourge. This is not something that's good for the community. They don't protect the community. They don't bring anything that moves, you know, that's an asset to our community. So it's completely different. So if you're asking me to relate the two, there isn't absolutely zero relatance. However, if you're saying that's now the state, so to speak, of organized crime, you know what? Again, I'm 21 years removed from the streets. I'd be the worst person to weigh in on this, on these matters. I know what I watch on TV. I know what I see in the news. And I know that it certainly does disturb me. And
I don't have you as the worst. I have you in the top 15. but I'll say this as a final thought. As I think about the state of, you know, what a movie like Goodfellas was, and John and being Italian and having a couple of relatives in Philadelphia who are, you know, minor league players in that world, and now seeing that it's, you know, MS-13 and, you know, Mexican drug lords and duffel bags with heads and abducting kids and stuff like that. I think if you charted organized crime and from like 1950 and commercial air travel, you'd see it go about the same direction, which is guys used to put in pocket squares and ties and blazers to go on an airplane. Yeah, right. There was a certain decorum. There were rules within that didn't need to be enforced because that's how we were as a society. Now it's flip-flops and cut-off sweats and guys wearing bad-to-the-bone T-shirts and people masturbating in the aisles. And that's essentially what commercial air traffic's gone, and if you look at organized crime, I think you'd see it follows almost exactly the same trajectory. Thank you, John Gotti.
I don't know the last time I was flying and someone masturbated in the aisle.
Lucky.
Fly commercial like the rest of us.
Bullet and semen dodged.
but that being said, and a closing, listen to me, in Ozone Park, in Howard Beach, in our neighborhoods, how come you never heard of any gangs? They didn't exist because we didn't let them exist.
Oh, good point.
Interesting.
All right, John, the movie's called Gotti. It's in theaters everywhere as we speak. And the website is johnagotti.com. There's also a racing rim. I'm sorry, I got to go deep here. But there's a racing rim that are on many of my old Paul Newman race cars and many cars from the 80s that is called a Gotti that is, I think, spelled the same way as your name. Does that make sense to you?
You know what? I don't know. I know there used to be a company called Gotti Tires was spelled the exact same way.
Must be rims. Yep.
So I know that for sure. There was tires and rim. There was also, I know there's also glasses called Gotti Glasses. I know that as well. I think it's a Swiss company, if I'm not mistaken, but I'm not sure about the cars. I know your tire and rim, there was a tire and rim that was called the Gotti Tire and Rim. Oh. And from what I understand, it's pretty much a high-valued item in the racing industry.
According to my producer, it has an E on the end of it. No,
that's a typo.
All right. It's spelled exactly the same. Come on, Max Beth. Thanks, John. Appreciate it. All right. It's a weird world. Right.
Interesting guy. Very, you know, has a lot to say.
Bumped by the Gotti because the E screwed me up.
Yeah,
right.
No, I was going to give you more info afterwards. Yeah, they still have a website too. GBS, they're called. I'm figuring out what the GBS stands for.
They made them. If you look at those old mid '80s race cars, they were all on a lot of those old Newman race cars and stuff like that.
Race cars specifically. These are not street.
They did a street version as well, but I don't think they made tires. I think John was just saying tire when people mean rim.
Yeah, now we know they're not affiliated.
It happens. All right. So I know that was something that everyone was thinking about. Interesting guy.
And, you know, I've literally viewed The Sopranos 14 times, I think. And, you know, we all love all that stuff. And the one theme you always find in Italian mob-themed movies are the intense love and support of family and the intense love and support they have of their children. And when he was talking about his kid, saying, well, you know, this this gets to be my 25-year-old's full-time job is going to the gym twice a day or whatever. That's that sort of rings true. I kind of like that.
I would make this statement. I stand by my commercial air traffic or commercial flying and mobsters. I think that I'm picturing the chart in my head, and it's one is red and the other's blue, and they're right with each other the whole time. I'm also going to make this statement. I do not think that anyone's dad wouldn't land between John Gotti Jr. and my dad. I do not think there's anyone who could say, nope, we're outside of one or the other.
Oh, great.
I challenge you, Dad, to find somebody who lands somewhere outside of these two.
Both this, Italian.
I know. That's the crazy part. This is the world's widest bookshelf, and there's no way you would get anywhere outside of those two bookends in the dad department. All right. What do we got? Maybe some phone calls. I got some other stuff. What's on my rundown?
We got some music to listen to.
I got music to listen to. I got stuff. We got a new website. You got to remind me to talk about what we did with Jimmy last night, Max Zapata. I'll tell you about Liquid IV, non-GMO electrolyte drink mix in portable powder packets. Say that three times fast. Same hydration as 2 to 3 bottles of water, 5 essential vitamins. More vitamin C than an orange, as much potassium as a banana. Potassium, that's the thing that Dr. Drew always said. You're a little hungover, you need to get some fluids in you. Potassium is a way to go. Fuels tough workouts, helps prevent cramping and fatigue, promotes post-workout recovery, also helps prevent the jet lag and altitude sickness. And right now, my listeners, get 20% off at liquid-iv.com. When you use my code Adam at checkout, the stuff's great. It's great tasting. Hydration, big issue. And again, especially if you're traveling a lot, moving around time zones, working out. 20% off of anything on Liquid IV's website if you use my name at checkout. Liquid-iv.com. Enter promo code Adam and save that money. Jimmy at his wife Molly's birthday party after the Oscars, maybe a few days after the Oscars, came up to me. It was like a big party, and people were moving around, and the music was loud, and people were getting drunk, including myself. And at some point, when I was leaving, I just went to say bye to Jimmy, and he said, I got an idea for a TV show for you. And I was like, oh, okay. And he kind of pitched it a little, but the music was pumping, and so was the alcohol. And then I went home, and then the next day I woke up and I thought, what was that TV show?
What did I agree to last night?
Jimmy's idea. So the idea, Jimmy's always had this, as a matter of fact, he was actually telling me last night, sitting in the green room of Flappers, that...
the music's pumping.
That's right. It's hip to be square, man. Huey. He's telling me this coming out of his phone. And he said, who wrote the Late Night Wars book? Bill Carter.
Great books.
Bill Carter was maybe the first season that Jimmy Kimmel Live was on was shadowing Jimmy and doing a piece on him or you know, doing what Bill Carter does. He was going to embed himself with the late night show, and then he was going to fall around the host, and he was going to capture season one. And at some point, Jimmy, I guess, was talking to him. He's following him around with a notepad, I guess. And at some point, my name came up, and Jimmy said to this guy, Bill Carter, he said, Adam will do a riff on anything, And if you don't believe me, just go up to him and just ask him about something. Just any, it doesn't matter what it is. And don't tell him what you're doing. Just walk up to him and ask him about something. Like, you don't have to hold a recorder or anything. Just try and experiment. So, and I remember this, and I probably only remember it because Jimmy brought it up later, but we were walking from one building to another building, or walking from the offices to the stage where the writer's table used to be, down where the green room is now. And he just kind of came up next to me and he said, I think I had a cup of coffee or something and it had a little stir stick in it, one of those little red stir sticks in it. And he said, how's the coffee going? Or like, what's up with the stir stick or something? And then I did 10 minutes on the stir stick, as Jimmy predicted. And I don't remember a lot, but I do remember the fact that my main complaint was that those little red stir sticks were hollow.
Yeah, they were like,
and you could
small.
Possibly use them as a straw, but not really. Well. And why not just make them solid? Mm-hmm. It'd probably be easier, and you wouldn't be fooled into attempting to suck your brains out trying to pull the thing. I did, you know, 10 minutes on stir sticks, and then I guess he went back to Jimmy and went, Jesus Christ, that guy does every time you bring something up, that guy just does a rant about it. So that's always been in Jimmy's head. And then Jimmy, in a way that's probably a little more flattering than accurate, says, oh, I watch all these stand-up specials, and I think Adam could go out there and just freeform it just as good. And it's not, I don't believe that's true, but that's what he thinks, and that's fine.
What he said, too, is just he watches all these stand-up specials, and a lunch with Adam is way funnier than any of these stand-up specials.
Oh, yes. Ooh, there you go. Well, that could be true. Now, I can always tell when I've been talking a lot because the person is finishing their plate, and I look down, and mine has not been disturbed yet, and I realize I've not gotten to any kebabs because I've been blabbing the entire time. So Jimmy had this idea, which is, let's put it to the test. And the put to the test is, we're going to get ping pong balls, and we're going to hand them out to the audience. And I didn't know this until I arrived at the theater, but they were going to just write one word on the ping pong ball. I thought initially that we need premises, things, but not just a word. A rabbit or Italy or just, I don't remember what some of them were, but like, there was like,
it's like an improv prompt. Give you a one word.
Right.
Yeah.
The bowl of death or whatever.
Yeah, like meatloaf.
Menopause. Italy. Italy. Yeah. There were just a couple or one word or
yeah,
so.
I know. I'm joking.
Yeah. And so Jimmy said, now I'm just coming off of doing a bunch of shows in Portland and then flying to New York and going to do the match game and stuff.
That's been crafted for years.
And I'm tired. Like, this is probably a bad week for me to hop up on stage and do more. But it's just the way it worked. Jimmy had a little window in his calendar, and Mike August just went like, all right, we're on this. And Flappers just sold out immediately. Because Jimmy's name was on the marquee, I'm sure. So we bought a hopper, a bingo hopper, and we bought ping pong balls. And I couldn't get the oversized ones; we just got the regular size ones. And I didn't know we were just going to put one name on there and one word. And then we got there, and I had this sort of thing where it's like, well, we'll put the person's name on there, and then we'll put their whatever they want me to riff on, or their what can I complain about, whatever, and then I'll get to call them out in the audience, right, and then I'll get to roast them a little bit. That'll be sort of a that'll be a crutch to fall back on, because if you're not coming, if the material's not coming, you can always bust on the person. But then we're sort of hashing it out backstage, and Jimmy's like, eh, we don't want to really just roast the people. I mean, you could do it a couple of times, but that's going to be been there, done that a little too easy. We need to just have one word.
Make it as difficult for you as possible.
You just go off on
it's
all of them.
It's a real challenge.
And I'm like, okay. So, and then also, we were driving there, and then Mike, I said, well, how long can we really just stand on, how long physically can I just stand on stage with this, now Jimmy's going to pull his 43rd ball out of this thing, and you're going to try to cobble together a thing where professional stand-ups work on stage. How long is this? And then Mike looked at me, and he went, hey, we charge $45 for this ticket, so it's going 90 minutes. And I'm like, 90 minutes is a really long time.
That's four and a half balls for you. Come on.
To stand there. I'm tired. My voice is shot. But I'm thinking just sort of formatically, it's cool, Jimmy and Adam up on stage and stuff, but it's kind of a, you know, 90 minutes is a long time. So Mike's like, we charge full freight, so you got to
give them their money's worth.
Yeah. You can't give them, like, in my mind, I'm like, half an hour. That's a long time. 40 minutes, that's a long time. But so we went backstage. We were backstage, sitting around with Jimmy, and I said, why don't we do the ping pong ball for like 45 minutes, half hour, 45 minutes. And then, you know, he's it now preparing to go play Ted Cruz in basketball and getting flying out of town and Father's Day softball games on Sunday and stuff like that. So we'll do like four half hour, 45 minutes, and then you can go, and then I'll finish up with 25 minutes, half hour stand up, so the audience feels like they got their money's worth. And Jimmy's like, nah, I'm staying the whole time. So I was like, okay.
And we're sticking with the ping pong ball.
So Jimmy, I believe, walked out there with the Sharpies and the ping pong balls in a big basket and handed it to everyone in the audience. He walked out with a basket first of get everybody in their Sharpies. Sorry, one second. Part of the rub was, I was, you know, not, you know, Price Waterhouse. I was not allowed to have contact with the ping pong balls or influence. I had to sit in the green room.
Jimmy's handcuffed.
While he went out there and got everyone to do it. Sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, so while people are even just getting sat, Jimmy just comes out on a stage and explains what the premise is. Everybody writes a word on these balls, and then he has a basket passing them around, and then we're letting the people put the balls in the hopper themselves. It's like a magic trick. Yeah. Like, all right, this isn't going anywhere. You guys, we're not, this isn't leaving the room
now.
Jimmy, I was like,
you're not sweet.
So you're going to bring you get everyone to sign them, then we'll bring them back, and we'll put them in the hopper. He's like, no, the hopper has to be on stage.
In full view.
We have to see them, put them into the hopper. I don't want anyone to think that we're cooking this, I guess. Right.
Yeah, that's exactly what happened.
It's awesome for everyone but me. Really, it's what it is. It's a great trick. No, those are actual handcuffs. That's an actual shark tank, and you're going in the water. We're not cheating our audience at all.
And there's no optical illusion you're actually doing.
You're
this.
Going into the drink. Yeah, it's like, that's great, except for the guy who's in the handcuffs in the tank, and it's actual handcuffs.
With no fake key.
We're not cheating.
For 90 minutes.
Yeah. So I said,
the best way to get Adam Carolla to do 90 minutes is to tell him, do 45 minutes.
Yeah.
So that's good. A good strategy.
No, I walked out there and I was like, look, we're going to give these people an hour. They got me and Kimmel up on stage for an hour. That's more than they bargained for in Burbank on a Thursday night. So, Jimmy went out there. Jimmy sat down. Jimmy manned the hopper. Jimmy, I think he said a few words right at the beginning. I couldn't.
Right.
I was backstage, and then
basically he told the Bill Carter story. And just explain to everybody, you don't understand how fast this guy can process comedy in his brain. So he's and everyone's so excited.
And I think it was a good show.
It's your hype man.
Jimmy did a good job. I give myself an 8. I think
really. The place is raucous.
You're thinking less? Oh, more.
I feel like I could always be. There's always a little room to improve.
Was there any word that stumped you? Like, ooh, I need a second and a half to figure this one out. Or was it? What were the standout words?
I was hoping that there would all be things that kind of reminded me of something.
Right.
He got out of the gate with baby, which is something that I never really articulated. Material right. or bits or things on. Just
books.
Babies, yeah. You know, I sort of have my kids and kids books or something, but just baby. I was like, baby. All right, let's see.
Cute little person.
Yeah, so
that's a good way to start, so, a little nothing up my sleeve.
Weird way to get started. I was.
How many balls did you get through?
I don't know. We discussed in advance, not probably the wisdom of not doing 20 minutes on one ball.
Mm-hmm. Sure, sure.
And I sort of said, and if we wanted, and if he pulled one out and I just wanted to pass, he'd just throw it out. We did on one ball.
What was it?
It was Vito. And I said, Vito the name or Vito the power? And it was Vito the power. And oh. I just said, I veto that ball.
Perfect.
Pass it. And we just went to the next. That's
still
only
counts.
Only one we vetoed, or the only one we passed. I don't know, Max Bauer. What did we do? Like 15 balls?
Yeah, Belgium. Yeah. Midnight. You did a lot on Midnight. Which is pretty good.
That was a weird one. Because like the first I heard Midnight, I was like, I got no thoughts on I have zero thoughts on Midnight. But I have zero. There were a lot of them were tough because I had no thoughts on Belgium. I had no thoughts on Midnight. Midnight I had no thoughts on. I just wasn't something I'd ever thought about.
I don't want to tell Jimmy he had a sidekick. But what he should have done is like, Midnight snack, perhaps. You throw it. Prime the pump. Obviously, yeah, you're coming right up with material. You throw out a couple of, like, baby food.
Baby, you know, on board.
Yeah, there you go. Just kind of, you know, prime the pump a little.
Well,
Jimmy, if you need help with the sidekicking, you know whatever.
According to...
it's really more of a front man.
According to the bylaws of the rules of the impossible game that Jimmy had announced, he could not do anything other than pull the thing out and say the name. There was no, it was not going to turn. I knew there was going to be two easier paths here. Mm-hmm. The easier paths would be have the person in the audience stand up and state their word, in which case I would be able to make fun of their male pattern baldness or their waist size and buy myself some midnight time, right?
I
needed to buy some precious moments to come together with a midnight term while I'm making fun of the person's shirt.
Right.
Okay. Not easy, by the way.
So we're not going to do that. That's
an easier path.
That's an easier path. It's an easier path.
Yeah.
The harder path is midnight, go.
Right.
Because you're just standing there. First off, 30 seconds feels like 2 days if you don't say anything. And then also you're just looking at the audience. Like, right. I don't know. The second path would be doing a lot of kibitzing with Jimmy. Mm. So if I was able to just sort of look at Jimmy and go into sort of man show mode, that would be another easy way out,
right,
because I would then be buying myself midnight thinking time while kibitzing with Jimmy.
Yeah.
And also, I knew it would be satisfying. Everyone, hey, man show guys back together up on stage. No one would have a problem with it.
No.
But I kind of also knew those weren't the rules of the game. The rules of the game was Belgium or midnight or whatever came up, and I was going to have to go with it.
Yeah, what I was really surprised about was because when we were setting up the stage, we had two mics next to each other on stands, and I thought, okay, Jimmy and Aaron will be standing up and doing the show together. No, Jimmy goes off like towards the side of the stage and is just pulling balls and saying the words, and Adam is up there alone pretty much.
He's effectively a narrator. You know, he's not really a personality on stage.
Yeah, it's like, it reminded me of like Drew Carey on Whose Line, just kind of off the side laughing,
yeah,
just cracking up.
Yeah.
Not helping, just laughing.
And then there's the pressure of Jimmy thinking you can do something that you may not be able to do. Right. That's really the pressure.
Just for a viewer, as one who would watch this show, I would not consider it cheating from the person who's doing the ball pulling to vamp for 3 to 5 seconds. Not vamp, but do the thing where it's like Belgian chocolates, you know, that kind of thing, where you're saying the word, but you're throwing a seed on the grass.
I would have gladly.
I wouldn't consider that cheating.
I wouldn't either, but it would, from my perspective, it would have been helpful. But
certainly more challenging the way it was.
And Jimmy's plan was it had to be pure with the balls, with no combing or thinning of the herd, no pre-cooking of any of the balls.
I do like the theatricality of that. That
no is, anything, good. No help from the audience or Jimmy. Just you have to go on the word as he pulls it. So that was...
So you did it. It was successful. Everyone had a good time.
I think
went for 4 hours.
A tight four.
It was. I think people enjoyed it. Max Pata, you were in the audience, right?
Everybody had such a good time. And then afterwards, Adam did the meet and greet, and it was cool because everybody just go up to Adam. Oh, I had the menopause ball, or my favorite ball was this, and you know everybody participated. So they're all part of the show in more ways than just watching.
Right. So now we shall see what happens, but we captured it, and we didn't film it like, hey, this is a production. We just captured it.
A not so special.
There we go. Speaking of special, Bespoke Post. One of my favorite perks of this job is getting the box of awesome from Bespoke Post. I love my aged whiskey glass set and, of course, my knife. Where is my knife? Oh, right, here's
I
my
love
knife.
Your knife.
That's right.
Run another box in you right now, too.
Somebody opened it the other day.
Oh, here's a new one.
Couldn't get it close.
What's in the box? What's in the box?
Beautiful silver cup. Let's see. What is this?
Each box goes for
a very cool ice tray.
Under $50 and is worth more than $70. Boxofawesome.com is where you go. And here's the thing.
It's a mint julep set.
Yeah, nice, heavy, nice weight cool. With a stick, a swizzle stick.
I should... I'm going to bring this over to Chris Morgan, Fast and Furious fame, because last time I was at his house, he was making me a mint julep.
There you go. He
was appreciate
literally, pestle and mortar.
Literally doing it.
That's cool. So,
Bespoke Post, and get it for yourself, get it for a friend. Again, I'm in love with all the stuff that shows up every month, and I don't know, it's a weird, like, little validation that you're worth it. You know, it's a little, would it be Stuart Smalley? Who? Al Franken in the mirror. But
you're good enough. You're smart enough.
Yeah.
Confident that you like yourself.
Do it. Bespoke Post. Reward yourself. You've arrived. You've worked hard enough. You'll get on the first of each month, you'll receive an email with the details. You have 5 days to change colors or sizes or add extra goods or whatever you like. If you're not feeling it that month's box, you can simply skip it. Bespoke Post, right, Dawson?
To receive 20% off your first subscription box, go to boxofawesome.com and enter promo code Adam at checkout. That's boxofawesome.com, promo code Adam for 20% off your first box. Bespoke Post themed boxes for guys that give a damn.
All right, we got a new website, thanks to the lovely Lynette, who's been the motor behind cranking out the new website, and the new logo, and the new everything, and new photos, and new everything. So we're finally up to date, and I got to say, it looks amazing. So
sharp. Logo adorning everything?
Those who want to check out amcarolla.com will find a really world-class website. So check that out, and thanks to Lynette for doing all the work she did on that. And we have our rankings, our Ocean 8 rankings of the women who would not want to have sex with me.
Oh, yeah, a lot of response from our listeners ranking who would be from least to most who would sleep with you from the Ocean 8 cast.
I even did my own rankings.
Yeah, Brian had one, too.
Mm-hmm.
So what we did was we made a point system from all the rankings that we received, and now we have a definitive... ranking. This is just a picture of the cast. I had the rankings right here.
I had a definitive top two and bottom two, like who would most dislike and who would most be okay. Tolerate. I can't say like, but tolerate. Top two for me, who would dislike Sarah Paulson, who dates women. That is a big, big red flag right there. She's into chicks. Mm-hmm. And Helena Bonham Carter, who's a like Shakespearean actress. I got a lot of people saying, oh, she was with Tim Burton. It's like, she's with the Jules Dash types of the world. You know what I mean?
More so than Cate Blanchett.
Yeah, because Cate Blanchett plays guys, like she's kind of cool and kind of into...
She's an actress, Brian.
There you go. Bottom two, of course, the star. Well, no, the star, Sandra Bullock. She was Jesse James. She likes manly men. You know what I mean? She's into like manly dudes. And Mindy Kaling, she dates comics. She likes that world. She would tolerate.
She would tolerate.
I can't say she'd be into it, but she's been with, you know.
Okay.
Yeah,
all
right. Guys.
Thank you. The people have spoken. We'll start with least, and we'll move up the ladder.
All right, so number one, Anne Hathaway. one for least likely.
Oh, sorry. Yeah. So I did. I wanted to go the other direction. Okay. I screwed up.
We'll go there because this is more exciting. Now you could see who you think would have more.
Who will tolerate you?
Yeah.
Yes.
Being inside them.
So two is Kate Blanchett.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
three, Sarah Paulson.
Good luck with that one.
Next is Rihanna.
Mm. Oh, yeah.
Then Helena Bonham Carter.
Rihanna's horny. I feel like if I got enough rum in her, we could make a move. Well, I feel like that's her weapon of choice is exactly rum, right?
Right, yeah.
All right.
Is it a problem that she's super, probably, is she the richest one up there? Sandra Bullock's obviously got money, but I'm saying, does it hurt?
I think Sandy's probably the richest up there, but Rihanna's got to be doing all right. It does not help that they're well-to-do. Yes.
All right, so after Carter, six, Sandra Bullock.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Way lower.
And then seven, Mindy Kaling's thinking about it.
Mm-hmm. Thinking about weighing her options.
You know she is.
And then eight, Awkwafina has a bad for the Ace Man.
She just, you think that would help her... her cachet?
Yeah.
Is that what this is about? Is this a power
move? She's sleeping away in the middle?
Yeah, exactly.
Am I looking at a picture of Awkwafina with glasses on?
Yeah, she's the
young Asian. She's Asian?
She plays kind of a street hustler in the movie.
Three-card
Monty and all that stuff.
All right. We'll take a break. We'll do good sports. We'll bring the guys in, and they're going to plead their case. They've got some songs. They like, who do we got? We got Dylan, Gary.
Matt and Gary.
And Matt.
And Matt. And they have rap songs they like. They're going to plead their case. And we'll do that right after the break. And good sport.
Whether you're a morning person or a bedtime procrastinator, everyone deserves a mattress that works for their style. And you'll find the best mattress for you at Ashley. The new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley brings you one-of-a-kind body-conforming technology, making every sleep tailored to be your best. The collection also features cool-to-the-touch covers and motion absorption to help minimize sleep disruptions from partners, pets, or kids. Shop the all-new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.
Ace and Shecky, let's do it!
The Podcast One Sports Network presents Good Sports.
Hi and hello, sports fans. Welcome to a brand new week of hot sports talk here on Podcast One Sports. Good Sports. Dave Damashek here. Adam Carolla over there. Reminder, before I say anything else, Dave's of Thunder is back, and it should be in your life. If it isn't yet, make sure you go to Apple Podcasts and fix that ASAP. Good times with David Feeney and with Max Apata. Ace, how are you? And I have a question for you right out of the gate.
I'm well. I've been traveling and working and probably busier than I've ever been in the past 3 weeks, but I'm good.
Good. Well, I'm glad to hear that. And I just am curious for your input on this, something that came up on a recent Dave's of Thunder. I was talking about Alvin and the Chipmunks. And it's weird to me that, you know, these are three miracles, three singing rodents.
Right.
And yet only Alvin has the, I don't know, the arrogance, the vanity, the narcissism to say, yeah, let's make the band Alvin and then the other two.
Right.
What, the other two must have low self-esteem that they sign off on that.
Well, also, Alvin's a chipmunk, right?
They're all three chipmunks.
I know. So it is kind of insane to go Alvin and the Chipmunks.
Whatever you say, Al.
Right.
You're the man, I guess.
Well, let's just equate it to fruit. Like if it was three nectarines, you wouldn't call it Bob and two nectarines.
Correct.
It's three nectarines.
Right. Unless the other two nectarines had such low self-esteem that they're like, okay, I guess you're better than we are. So you should get top billing there, Bob the Nectarine. And so I bring this up. And I ask somebody who, the only person in the room who happens to be in a band, I say to Max Apata, hey, or Loxamana, what's the name of your band? Do you know the name of his band, Ace?
Maxie.
It's Loxy. He named the band after himself. Who are these suckers that you drew in? What? It's such a singular opportunity to be on stage with you that they'll, whatever it takes to be on stage with Loxy. I'll be in Loxy.
But uncomfortable that you asked him. And
then it
I always hearken back to standing in the halls of K-Rock with Kimmel shortly after meeting him in like 1994. and explaining that my buddy Ray came from one of these douchebag families where they had to name everyone with the same first letter. His brother Rob, his brother Rich, his and Ray. And it was I couldn't have been more sing-songy and condescending. And then Jimmy just said, "Well, I'll tell my sister Jill and my brother John and my mom Joan and my dad Jim that you thought that was a bad idea." And I thought, what are the chances? I didn't know him at all. And I was going, what kind of douchebag family? What were the chances? But it was perfect timing. And I think that's what you just ran into with Loxy, right?
I mean, it was, sincerely, that's exactly what we ran into. Yeah, but
very fortunate for me.
But what about that? Can you imagine? Would you be in a band? Like, would you sign up? Like Richie Sambora. He's a coxman by his own right. He writes songs.
What's more?
Why would you be in Bon Jovi?
What's more aggressively egregious? What Chris Maxipata did with Loxy, or what Cedric the Entertainer did with his name? What is more grandiose?
Well, given the heights that Cedric has achieved
well,
in his life.
You're right. Now,
yeah, I'll be in your band, Loxy. Can I be in the band? Please, I'll do anything to get to be with the 21st century songbird that is Loxy.
Mm. Did you toy around with other names?
Yeah, well, it was going to be like Chris Loxamana and the blank. You know, like like Gladys and the Pips or something.
Mm-hmm.
Loxy and Onions. Something fun. Like,
it started,
you know?
Mm-hmm. It started off as a solo thing.
Okay.
And then they jumped on.
I got you.
I was already kind of established, at least in my brain.
Right. So
when
it'd be like. Yeah,
because,
you know, there's. I mean, look, you know, Gordon Lightfoot started off and eventually he had to get a guy behind him in a rhythm section, but he didn't change his name.
Yeah.
He just went with Gordon Lightfoot. But that's a good name. Maxipata
is
a horrible name.
Exactly.
It reminds me of like a feminine product. It conjures that. You know what I mean?
Well, being a Semitic person, yes, I think of the delicious brunch time fare, the lox and
a
bagel or some whitefish, if you please. Doesn't even have to be lox for me. Mm. What I won't stand for is if I'm a competent guitar player or drummer is being in somebody else's band. What's the fat guy's bass player name in Van Halen? He has no dignity. He has no honor. He's rich, but Michael Anthony. Michael Anthony.
Yeah.
I don't care for it. Scram.
Scram.
Look,
all right.
There's no need to defend yourself. What are you going to defend yourself
I don't like you placing this this argument because you're going to get in the heads of the other guys, and then they're gonna come up to me, and they're going to make some demands.
Hey, rest of Loxy. Damashek is available and has the voice of a songbird.
All right.
Goodbye, Loxy. Loxy.
Yeah.
Ace, a quick update for you. Something that we brought up on one of the episodes last week was dangling earrings. And would you rather hang out with dangling earring guy or diamond stud in both ears guy? And someone did float for us the name Lawrence Taylor.
Yeah, with the dangling LT.
Do you think he'd be fun to hang out with? I don't know that he would be.
I don't think he would be. I think I am fascinated by guys and gals, but it's mostly guys who put their own name on themselves.
Mm.
Like, that was LT with an earring that said LT that was dangling from LT's lobes. And I feel like, who doesn't know it's LT? All right, more egregious. We've already discussed Loxy and his band name versus Cedric the Entertainer. Now, more egregious, LT walking around with a gold LT earring dangling from his left ear, or Mike Love of the Beach Boys only wearing a ball cap that says The Beach Boys on it. Only.
Yeah, you know, that's the old lament. I forget even what movie that first comes up in, is you can't wear the name. I think it was an overrated movie, PCU, that said you can't wear the band that you're going to see. You can't wear their T-shirt to the concert. You can't do that. And I remember once, so, well, where do you come down, Ace? Have you ever worn Adam Carolla. I mean, listen, I'm sure. I will say this in advance of getting the tweets and whatever. People will say, how dare Adam Carolla and Dave Damashek have a conversation like this when they both do shows that bear their names? But that's well, a little minor sniff
no,
there.
That was, I actually needed air.
No, I like it, though.
I will say this.
It was sort
Gary,
of like a,
Gary
yeah,
will
but still.
Have to back me up.
Yep.
I'm probably wearing a Joe Coy hat right now.
Correct.
I will wear Jimmy Kimmel shirts, not 5-to-1, not even 100-to-1 for Adam Carolla shirts, 1,000-to-1 or to zero. I don't think I ever wore an Adam Carolla shirt. We have plenty of offerings over here. I've never worn that. If the hat goes on, it's just by coincidence because it's a hat. I don't even know what's on it, but I wear other people's stuff. I think this may be I don't know if this is factual or not, but I think it is. I will go out on a limb and say I have a podcast. I wear Joe Coy's hat almost everywhere, and he has a podcast. And I wear what's his name's T-shirt?
Michael Rappaport.
Michael Rappaport's shirt almost everywhere, and he has a podcast. I don't know if Bill Simmons would wear a lot of other people's swag when being photographed. I have 1,000 photographs. I ran into Michael Rappaport in New York wearing his shirt. He, I think, thought I knew he was going to be at the event of that. I had to explain. I had no idea you're going to be here. I'm simply wearing your
what
swag
an homage!
And your
a singular homage. It's funny because I remember Kimmel. You know, he gives out at the holidays. The swag from the show was really good, and I said, "You never wear any of that," and it never registered to me. He's like, "Yeah, what kind of ass would I look like if I'm walking around town wearing a Jimmy Kimmel T-shirt?"
I had a Loveline jacket that was a rain jacket. And it was a good proper with a hood and everything. And 2 days out of the year in L.A., a rain jacket is nice to have. And I didn't have any other rain jackets. And this just said Loveline on the back. And I wanted to use it. But the jacket was dark blue and it said Loveline in gold stitching. And I took a Sharpie and Sharpied out. I desecrated my own rain jacket so I could go out and wear it without looking like a douche of the guy who hosted the show.
Man.
All right. Yes.
May I point out that both of you have new merch available. If someone who is not Dave Damashek or Adam Carolla wants a product, you can go to our brand new AdamCarolla.com website. There is merch galore. And I believe I saw a tweet about some new Dave the Thunder merch coming soon.
Oh! Take it away.
Merch galore. Worst bond secretary ever. Total sellout. Always wearing her own swag.
They've run out of ideas.
I'll tell you where you should go. Butcher Box, everybody. High quality, healthy protein you can trust. 100% grass-fed and finished beef. Free-range organic chicken, as Dave would say. Ooh la la. Mm-hmm. Heritage breed pork delivered right to your door on dried ice. I have it. I bought a second fridge. I put it into the garage because I am stockpiling this, and it is the best. Free shipping anywhere in the 48 states. Huge taste difference between the animals raised on pasture versus concentrated feedlots. And for June only, all new customers receive free bacon for life. Free bacon for life, plus $10 off by going to butcherbox.com. You want to lose some weight. You want to get in shape. You want to do what Drew's doing, what Vinny tells you to do. Make it easy. Go with butcherbox.com. Use the discount code Adam. Get the $10 off and the bacon for life. All right, let's bring it home, Sheck.
All right, for Adam Carolla, Dave Damashek, more good sports all week long. For now, though, Podcast One Sports out. Good sports.
The living room is where you make life's most beautiful memories. But your sofa shouldn't be the one remembering them. The new life-resistant, high-performance furniture collection from Ashley is designed to withstand all the spills, slip-ups, and muddy paws that come with the best parts of life. Ashley high-performance sofas and recliners are soft, on-trend, and easy to clean. Shop the high-performance furniture in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.